Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I meet with military veterans to learn about what they do in their civilian career and advice they'd give to other veterans seeking that same career path. Today's episode number 169 with Drew Morris.
You know, it was very painful to watch that, you know, that savings account sort of dwindle over weeks and months as you do get out. And my last paycheck, I remember, was my terminal leave started June of 2013. I was licensed the same month and jumped in. My last paycheck from the Marine Corps was September 1st. And after that, it was 100% commission. So yeah, that's really how it is for any licensee, unless they have some sort of arrangement on a team. But definitely stepped in and had to find out where the next paycheck was going to come from.
Well, I've got a lot to say about today's interview, but the first thing I just want to point out is I think this is a great interview, even if you're not interested in real estate. And I'll get into that in just a second, but I wanted to headline with that. So in the last couple of months, I've been exploring real estate because a lot of you in the newsletter survey told me you want to learn more about real estate. And so in episode 165, we talked to Chris Antonov. He talked about real estate development, a little bit more of the commercial side of real estate. In episode 164, I talked with Rich Carey, who's still on active duty, and we talked more about the personal finance side and the side hustle of real estate. In episode 158, I talked to Sean Ponder, my classmate from the Naval Academy. He talked about how he spent 4 or 5 years at Lockheed Martin while doing real estate on the side and getting that career started, and then jumped over to residential real estate. Today's guest, Drew Morris, went straight from the Marine Corps to real estate. And so he's got a lot to share about specific timelines and amount of money in the bank to have as you think about this. If you're on active duty right now, how far out to start preparing. But what I think is really, really, really helpful for every listener is the other things that Drew talks about in addition to real estate. He has, hands down, the best description I've ever heard about a commission-only role. And I am betting that 99.999% of you listening to this are already turned off just hearing that. I hear it so often from veterans. I'm not willing to take a commission-only role. And that may be right for maybe half of you, but I'm going to challenge you and say that I think it could actually be a great fit for many of you. So I think it's worth listening to his description about his experience with a commission-only role and challenging that assumption that you need to be in a salaried position. He talks about the control that he has, and he flips this around on the salaried position about the lack of control that they have and a lot of the downsides that no one ever talks about that go hand in hand with a salaried role. So I think it's really important to listen to that aspect. He also talks about sales and what he talks about. That's another sales is like another do not talk about subject for most veterans. But he talks about sales in a way that I think is relevant to real estate, non-real estate sales, but also just networking in general. And if you've listened to this show before, you know that a common pitfall that veterans fall into is that they do not sell themselves. They sell their team, they sell their unit, they do not sell themselves, and they don't get a gold medal for that. They get passed up for the job. And so you need to cultivate this ability to network and to sell yourself. And the way that Drew talks about this, I think it will resonate with most of you. I think he makes this very accessible. I'm sure you can tell from the interview, he's a good guy, he's got a good heart, he has good intentions, and he sells in a way that is completely aligned with that. He is selling as himself. It's not like he's bringing on this other persona. At beyonduniform.io, you'll find other interviews related to real estate and hundreds of other careers that are great for veterans. You'll also find show notes that have a link to every single resource that Drew talks about. He brings up 5 or 6 different books and programs to check out. So check out the show notes. If there's anything you'd like to add, use the comment section. We'd love to get a discussion going around this episode. And if you're enjoying the show, would greatly appreciate your passing along this to your friends and family, anyone who might benefit from this show. If no one comes to mind, iTunes reviews are a great way to get the word out to population at large. So if you have a chance to leave a positive review, I would greatly appreciate it. So with that, let's dive in to my interview with Drew Morris. Joining me today in Denver, Colorado is Drew Morris. Drew, thanks so much for joining me on Beyond the Uniform.
Hey, Justin. Thanks for having me, man. Really, really pumped to chat with you.
So for listeners, I wanted to give them a quick background on you. Drew is a residential real estate broker at the New Era Group at Your Castle Real Estate. He started out at the Naval Academy, after which he served as a Marine Corps officer for 7 years. He transitioned directly from the Marine Corps into his current position, where he has worked for nearly 5 years. So Drew, maybe to start things off, if you were talking to someone on active duty, how would you explain what it is that you do for a living?
Yeah, man, it's pretty straightforward. Residential real estate sale. So really, I help people buy and or sell all types of properties. So, you know, land, single family homes, attached and detached, shed cover condos, townhomes, multi-unit properties, like income type properties, up to 4 units. And on the listing side, same thing as well.
And one thing I was curious about with your background is, you know, at what point did you know you were going to go into real estate, and what influenced that decision?
Yeah. Kind of a crazy story, but not too crazy. I didn't really start training or studying for my real estate exam or license until March of the year that I was getting out of the Marine Corps. And, you know, before that point, had explored a bunch of different opportunities. You know, it was pretty kind of standard business to, you know, if you're coming out of the Marine Corps and you're an officer, you know, you consider business school. You consider, with my, you know, as a logistics officer in that background, I looked at just, you know, operations roles or sort of like middle management roles in various companies. Also being in Colorado, looking at, you know, the energy sector piqued my interest. So, you know, oil and gas, explored that a little bit. And then coming out of recruiting command, you know, I've been pretty exposed or had a pretty good training in the sales process too. So, you know, sales roles were actually pretty interesting to me as well. But I think, you know, after being active duty and, you know, deploying and then dealing with tons of travel and the different types of demands and hours, that, you know, came from that. So the type of life that my wife and I wanted, we were pretty strict on the criteria, like checklist we had for basically that next career. So, you know, all these careers, they all met some element of what we were looking for, but, you know, between traveling and I think some of the roles just weren't interesting, or moving, because we really wanted to stay in Colorado. You know, the involvement in the community, things like that. Really, everything was kind of missing the mark. And frankly, I just wasn't very excited about some of the roles you're going into. Now, kind of looking back, you know, part of that was, you know, coming from such a position of great responsibility and leadership, that sometimes, and what I found is pretty normal, that you feel like you're kind of stepping down when you're stepping into the civilian sector, which is totally normal. But, you know, at that point, nothing was really exciting. So started exploring residential real estate, actually, because my wife was actually chatting with a friend of ours, his wife. They were having coffee, and her husband was our realtor when we bought our house, and we stayed friends and stayed in contact. And, you know, she just brought it up as like, hey, maybe Drew should look at it. I think he might be a good fit or whatnot. So, you know, it was never on my radar until that point. Then started chatting, started having a few conversations and interviews with him about it. And we decided that it was actually the one thing that sounded really fun and exciting and something I would have wanted to wake up and do every day. You know, it met all of the criteria. I got to be invested in my community. I really got to continue serving in some capacity with people. I was able to be, I had the flexibility to be involved in certain type of like nonprofits or in like government committees, things like that, locally. And then, you know, you can make the most of what, you can make the most of the career, like however you see it, whatever direction you see it going, you could do that. And so that was, you know, that kind of entrepreneurial aspect and the sales aspect, that was all really actually pretty appealing. So after deciding that, you know, salary positions were no more for us and we're ready to make the leap, I went ahead and started pursuing that, that real estate license on a few months out from terminal leave.
What I love about that is, you know, in so many of these interviews and in so many of the people on active duty that I speak with, I think that the common perception is that having all of your options open is an asset, that if you're willing to move anywhere, do anything, that makes it easier. And I found it's the opposite. It actually makes it quite a bit harder. And so what I love about your story is it sounds like you and your wife were really thoughtful and intentional about what you really valued. And you put a stake in the ground around Denver, and you put a stake in the ground around certain hours and lifestyles. And you had these criteria that, yes, in a lot of ways that closed the door on many opportunities, but I imagine that allowed you to be really focused in what you were looking for and then to recognize this as a great opportunity. When you met that friend of your wife's, you were able to say like, oh, this actually checks off all those boxes, so this is something I want to explore.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
What about, so you talked about this with I'm assuming when you started, there was no salary. It's all commission-based. And I know that a lot of veterans struggle with that. Could you talk a little bit more about what that was like at first?
Oh, it's, it is incredibly terrifying. So, you know, one of the things that I was told, in the months leading up to, you know, getting out of the Marine Corps and starting full time with real estate, was like, hey, you need to have, you know, a certain X number of months of reserves to pay your bills and your mortgage. Because, you know, just like in any sales gig, it can take months or years to get to a point where the business is clicking and things are working for you. So, you know, it was very painful to watch that, you know, that savings account sort of dwindle over weeks and months as, you know, you do get out. And my last paycheck I remember was my terminal leave started June of 2013. I was licensed same month and jumped in. My last paycheck from the Marine Corps was September 1st. And after that, it was 100% commission. So yeah, there's really, and that's really how it is for any licensee, unless they have some sort of arrangement on a team, but definitely stepped in and had to find out where the next paycheck was going to come from. So definitely scary, but I can talk for hours on the sales process and how, activity, you can control activity and things like that. You can't control results really. But once you get to a point where you understand how all that works and sort of how, we'll just say how the world works in that sense with this activity, like all those things started coming around. So I was very fortunate in a lot of ways to be aligned with some of these top producing agents that I was aligned with because I learned a lot from them. I learned really everything from them. And I had the chance to work with them on certain transactions and that helped kind of fill some gaps. With pay. But, you know, I've gotten to a point now where I feel like sometimes it's almost more scary to think about being in a company where my salary is controlled by a company and I have no control over where that company's headed and whether or not they're going to pay me the following month. Now I feel like I'm in total control and of the destiny. You know, of course, I totally believe that God has blessed us with a lot of amazing things, but from what I can control, it feels like, you know, it almost feels like a position of strength rather than being in a kind of a corporate environment where I'm subject to the whims of the company leadership.
That is the best description I think I have ever heard about sales commission. And I love how you're highlighting the, you know, I love how you're being honest about how terrifying that can be. But I also love how you're pointing out the positive of the autonomy and independence, and how being a cog in a giant machine at a larger company might not be as fulfilling or secure, and how that can be intimidating. So I love the both sides of that you're pointing out.
Yeah, I won't hide this either. Sometimes there are some days where maybe I've worked for 3 months straight or number of weeks straight every day, where I'm like, man, sometimes it sounds really nice to be salaried and to have the weekends off and not think about work. But, you have your pros and cons. And then the times when I can, I can travel with my wife or my family and still do work, but be in a beautiful spot and make that decision because we're able to do that. That's when you're like, okay, this is why it's worth it. This is amazing. And this last little side note about me, my wife and I just finished up adopting two children from Haiti, and she was able to spend 2 months in Haiti while I was there. And I spent a month in Haiti and still did the work I needed to do and perform. I had, awesome team behind me to help support on certain things. But I wouldn't be able to do that in any other environment, from what I understand. So,
correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, because if you are 100% commission, you have complete control over what you do, when you do it, and how you do it. Because if you don't do well, you don't make money. So that means that if you want to take a month and go to Haiti, if you want to take a month and travel the world, you can do that. You're not going to get paid for it, but you can do that and have complete control. Is that pretty accurate?
That's 100% accurate. Mm. So you can make it whatever you want to make it. And I like to keep a pretty regimented schedule as far as like how the days and weeks go. And, there's kind of a wide range of opinions on how, real estate agents' days should be scheduled and all that. And is it like a work from home in your pajamas thing, or is it an actual like office environment? I think there's some healthy middle ground somewhere in there, but yeah, it does. You really do get to make it what you want. So if some people travel a ton and they work hard for a very long time, maybe they build up enough money to do those type of things and they move on and they come back and they start over. So it's actually it's a very amazing industry to be a part of.
And you had said that you took your real estate exam about 3 months prior to separation. If you could go back in time, or more accurately, if you could advise people listening to this podcast, what would be the ideal, maybe the two things I'm curious about is, what would be the ideal timeline prior to separation and kind of activities to do? And then second, what is the target amount of money to have in the bank account, or maybe like months that you can survive without income?
Great questions. I think from a target timeline standpoint, I think anywhere from anywhere from 3 to 6 months out, or having it, I guess, issued out from that that separation point is probably a smart move. Because the thing is, with that real estate license tests, and when you're studying and you're getting it, it's really not designed to make you a great real estate agent. It's designed to expose you to some of the legalities and rules associated with real estate practice in Colorado. It's just like, I guess, with anything, right? With any of the schools we've been a part of, or we're commissioned Marine Corps officers. Well, now what? You don't really know what it means to be a Marine officer. I think during that time, when you're getting your license, aligning yourself with some really great top-notch agents that have a similar mindset to the type of career that you want to have, or have the similar lifestyle that you want to have, whatever that is, find those people and just start being a sponge around them and learning from them. And having that sort of six-month window would be really smart to take advantage of that time and do those type of things. So I was... one of the things I did while I was getting my license, I actually went to a couple classes just to go and be exposed to like the contract classes or inspection classes or whatever it was, and just kind of sit in the back of the room. Hey, I'm not licensed, but I'm just here to listen type of thing. And, that's the kind of stuff that gets you up and running a little bit more quickly. And then as far as like the money in the bank, I would say if you have 6 months of reserves in your bank account, that's a, you're in a good spot. I would say it usually takes, if you're doing the right activities from day one after getting your license, it could be maybe 90 days before you have your first sale. And, you know, sometimes that first one's a little easier to come across, whether you get a referral from an agent or maybe you have a brother, family, whatever it is. It's like, hey, I need to buy something and you just got your license. Sometimes that happens, but that's not usually sustainable, you know, as far as activity goes. So I would say 6 months is a good number.
That's great. And I love and admire the way that you would just sit in on those classes in the back. I think that that's, it makes me think, I'm going to blank on the investor. It's Chris Sacca, I believe, is a, you know, very, very well-renowned venture capitalist. And when he worked at Google, he would just walk in to meetings, like really senior meetings that he was not supposed to be at. And he would just be like, yeah, I'm going to volunteer to take notes for you guys. And no one turned him down to take notes because it's a value add. But then he sat and learned from all of these incredible people and knew what was going on in the company. And that's what I thought of when you said that. I love that thought of just the scrappiness of just sitting in the back of the class and learning and taking in that knowledge. And also recognizing the value of finding those role models, of finding the people that you want to work with and to learn from. Because I imagine, yeah, that was great what you said. It's like the real estate exam teaches you only the, you know, the bare minimum and the kind of the bare essentials, but you have to learn from others to accelerate that that process of getting in the game.
Yeah, it's so true. I have a pretty big rule. Like, I start feeling uncomfortable if I feel like I'm the smartest person in the room. Mm. You know, It's like, you got to finding people that are better than you and smarter than you is always the best way to go. So
that's great. That's great.
By that.
And then what does your day-to-day life look like now? You said you've kind of maintained a lot of structure. If you could be, I know listeners enjoy this aspect, but just as granular as you're willing to be about maybe what time you get started and kind of what sorts of things go on throughout the day and what weekends look like and evenings and just painting that picture of your life.
Yeah. Well, I will begin by saying that sometimes there is no day that is the same as the other. Because a lot of times our schedules are dictated by the transactions that we're part of at that point. But to give you sort of a kind of general idea, we can go with, you know, work week starts on Monday. Typical day begins somewhere between 5 and 5:30. Usually hit the gym in the morning or do something like that. You know, breakfast, yes, usually 6:30 to 7:30. And depending on right now with the change with what's going on with the kids, work day starts at 8, sometimes 9 if we need to extend that. And then as far as like where that work happens, so I have a home office, which is hard actually to work at. That's the benefits of working from home only go so far. Sometimes if you have a family, it's very, difficult to separate yourself, or then to separate from you place you can go. That's an actual office, in an offsite location, but I have a home office. Then I have my office in Denver, which is where the New Era Group is located. And so depending on what the schedule looks like that day, I'll either start from the home office or I'll go directly to the Denver office. And usually what we're doing is first part of the day is just going through the emails, you know, 100 emails in the inbox. Let's see what's going through, work through those, kind of triage those basically based on what's most important to respond to. Looking at current transactions on Monday with my team, with basically what's going on for that week, what are some important deadlines, any issues we have. Time where, you know, every day I have planned sort of marketing activities I need to do, and whether that's social media related, publishing things on LinkedIn, or if I have phone calls to make. I'm also doing Monday update emails to all my current transaction clients where I'm basically just touching base with them, letting them know any big items for the week. Usually around lunch, I've tried to have some sort of meeting with somebody where I'm meeting just face-to-face, building a relationship or starting a relationship, whatever that looks like. the afternoon a lot of times can be reserved for maybe more phone calls, activities with active buyers out in the market who are going out and checking out properties, or maybe I'm doing research on a market and providing some information to clients who maybe need some analysis done, things like that. Usually after 5 p.m., usually you'll have a lot of buyers that want to look at properties too because of their typical work schedule, things like that. On Tuesdays, similar schedule, I'll do phone calls to current clients again, update info activities for the week. It's sort of like a two-point touch with them. And then there's a mix again of I'm looking at current operations, I'm looking at current operations slash transactions. It's easier for me to break it down into like, sales activities, operations, and financial stuff. And I'm doing the marketing activities for that day. Again, I'm trying to get face-to-face and then phone calls with people. Wednesdays, I'm dealing with kind of leads, people that have expressed interest in buying or selling, whether current or, the next 30 days or next 90 days or even next year, just working all those different questions and kind of information needs to be passed along there. On two times a month, I'm a part of the Metro North Chamber of Commerce leads group that meets in the morning, where I get the chance to chat with about 17 different professionals, whether business owners or sales folks that have, we each have our own industry that we represent. So I'm the real estate guy for the group. So that's a lot of fun. Get to meet some cool people and hear from different businesses. Let's see. Thursdays, usually past client day, where I'm my target or marketing activity for a day is I want to touch base with people that I've worked with in the past. Just checking on things, see how the family's doing, see how the house is doing. And again, face-to-face with other current or their current relationships or showing activities, things like that. And then Fridays, there's usually a lot of prep work going in for the weekend, making sure that the showing plans for certain clients are set, making sure all the information is prepped and printed and on hand, ready to go for whatever the schedule calls for that weekend. Oftentimes I'll have maybe agents and support that'll help show properties for me because I can't be everywhere at once. So making sure they know the game plan. And let's see, also sometimes I'm on Fridays, I'm looking at, again, various events I can attend, whether at lunch, in the afternoon or evening, and then phone calls, and then any kind of, again, transaction management that needs to happen during that time. So I'm always kind of juggling three things. I'm always juggling current operations with my transaction coordinator and my marketing and ops support manager, and then current or future ops with just, of course, sales activities and generating future business, and then any kind of training or networking type thing. So there's a lot that goes on, and you're always kind of juggling. Every day is sort of different. Well, at the same time, I try to be like in my business in the mornings, as far as like building the business. And then in the afternoons, I'm out there doing things in the business, working on the business in the morning and then being in the business in the afternoons. It's a good way to put it.
That's great, man. I love that description. I think that's very, very helpful just to get that sense of what's going on. And, for someone who's listening, who's on active duty, what are some signs that they may really like this career path, but what are some things that they might dislike about it as well?
Yeah. There's so many things. So you would like it if you have an entrepreneurial mindset, if you're okay with understanding that, let's use the phrase, you eat what you kill, if you want to, you have to be comfortable getting out there and generating business. You have to, one of the most, mindset changing things for me or pivotal moments for me as a real estate agent was being told that I need to stop thinking like a real estate agent. I need to start thinking like a business owner. That was pretty important because I need to start looking at myself as wearing three hats all the time. And when, people can take that on and realize that this isn't a career where it's a, hey, work from home, be in your pajamas and work when you want. This is like we have a duty to the public, we have a duty to the consumer base to be excellent at what we do because they trust us with their money and with their future plans for their family, you know? So I take that pretty seriously. So people that are willing to take on that responsibility and look at it as a career path and not as a hobby, I think they'll do well. I think the other thing too is that people have to realize that they have, I think they have to have a servant mindset in this role. Doesn't matter if you were leading Marines, you know, platoons, companies, whatever, you come here and somebody needs help showing a property and getting in there, or they need help, you know, coordinating an inspector or whatever it is, whatever menial task or however menial the task might seem, you have to be willing to do it and be willing to say, you know, you're not above those things, because those are really things that are where they make a difference in people's lives, you know? So you have to be willing to accept that. You have to be willing to say, you have to talk to a 22-year-old kid or a 25-year-old kid and work for them. You know, you're leading them through the process, but you work for them, and you're going to make sure everything can go as good as possible for them during this entire process. You're going to treat them the same as your 50-year-old client who's, you know, a millionaire or whatever it is. So that's, I think that's really important, and you'll do well if you have that mindset. I think people that might not do well are, well, I guess if you don't have the discipline to maintain your own schedule and self-manage, that's probably not the right role for you. If you're not comfortable with, or if titles mean a lot to you, then you're probably not going to do very well, because, you know, barrier to entry for realtors or real estate agents is pretty low, right? So anybody can have that title. So there's, you know, sometimes I think that can be something that affects people's perception, where they're like, oh, I don't really want to do it because I'd rather do commercial, which is awesome, because residential, you know, their grandma did it, right? So they're like, well, why would I have an MBA and I have a degree and I went to the Naval Academy. I'm a war vet. Why would I do that? You know, I think that can be a hindrance to people. So I think, I can't think of what else right now.
No, that's great. That's great. And another thing I wanted to ask about, so you mentioned earlier that you go to the Chamber of Commerce, and I think that's great to highlight. I'm imagining that's a great spot to network and get to know people and get advice and help. And but I'm curious if there's any other resources you would recommend if someone is really interested in real estate. Are there any books or podcasts or sites or conferences, anything that they should check out?
Yeah. Wow. I'm a big reader. So there are several books out there that I think are pretty important to making a good career out of this. There's a guy named Larry Kendall, who is pretty famous in the real estate world. He started a program called Ninja Selling. I would check that out, because I think he's made a pretty big impact in a lot of people's lives and a lot of people's careers. And I really looked at things. I would say any business book, any entrepreneur book would be super important to read, because again, you want to have that type of mindset when you're in this role. I'm glancing at my bookshelf right now and I'm seeing what I might throw out there for you guys. There's a book called The Greatest Salesman in the World, which is pretty awesome. The Millionaire Fast Lane actually is a pretty interesting one too. If you've heard of that, it sounds kind of cheesy, but it's sort of like that business building and mindset piece. And actually talks about real estate as one of those methods of attaining that status. The Seven Levels of Communication was actually a really good one, which is about, it highlights a real estate agent, a lender story, but it's actually a book that could be applied to any kind of small business or industry, on the seven levels of communication, the pyramid, and where, you know, you make the most impact and what the purpose is of each of those levels. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But I think resource wise, like from the beginning, you know, it's one of those jobs where you really do have to learn on the go. And if somebody is seriously considering it in whatever market they're in, I would try to find who are the top producing agents, who do you know? And even maybe not the top producing agents, who are just people that you know that have worked with somebody who they really like and who they thought did a great job, and just start the conversation there and ask them what it's like working in that market and what you know, what is it, what's it taken from them to do the things that they've done, and see if that matches maybe their goals. And, you know, and that reminds me, going back to like the schedule piece, and what I didn't really talk about was the weekend. And what I will say is the weekends a lot of times are where the rubber meets the road, where you're going to be out there doing things. It's very common for me to be out on Saturdays with clients looking at properties, and you'll spend a few hours doing the prep work, doing the showings. And then after that, you'll be doing follow-up work with either research or answering questions or whatever it is. And then you'll find yourself either late afternoon or evening, now you're writing an offer for the folks. And then now you're getting all that prep work going to make them competitive in a competitive market. And oftentimes I'll find myself on Sundays doing the same thing. I try to protect those as much as possible with family and church, but you know, sometimes it's unavoidable, and you have to do what you have to do. So I think going back to who might not fit, if your family isn't willing to make some of those sacrifices, it might not be a good fit, because you're going to have to do some of those things, at least from what I've seen.
That's great. And one other question I wanted to ask you is, towards the start of our conversation, you had a statement around the sales process, and you talked about controlling activity, not results. And I know you could probably talk for hours about sales, but what's maybe one or two pieces of advice you would give a veteran approaching any sort of sales role, whether it's real estate or something else, things that you've learned that have helped you?
Yeah. Well, the key book that I would point out here that's really shaped how my business runs is called Go Givers, Sell More. And The Go Giver was a book that was really popular, story-based learning. And The Go Givers, Sell More is sort of like the academic textbook, which is, it's short, it's small and simple, but it accompanies that Go Giver original book. And the thing that they talk about over and over and over in the sales role is that you have to change your mindset of what you think of as a salesperson. Most people think of salesperson as used car salesman, vacuum cleaner seller, whatever it is, all those kind of pushy mentalities where people feel like they're being pressured to do something. In this industry, you have to change, or in any industry for salespersons, your job is to create value for your clients. And your job is to not, you can't ever convince anybody to make a decision or to change their mind. Your job is to help them make decisions. So you can't convince anybody to do something that you want, because it's not about you. And it's always about them. And this book does a really good job of explaining and walking through this process and all these different kind of laws of stratospheric success, et cetera. So for me, it was always like, how am I adding value to people's lives? How am I adding value to my clients? How am I adding value to the real estate industry or to the world and all these things? So when you start looking at it like that, it becomes very fun, and you're able to become very creative, and you're able to actually take some pressure off yourself, because you're never going to walk into a house and tell somebody like, hey, you have to buy this one. And you're not going to say, even if they don't like it, you're not going to tell them why they're going to like it and that they're going to buy it. Like, it just doesn't work that way. So that's a really good thing, because it does take the pressure off of you. And again, your job is to be the advisor and the consultant, help them make decisions and then lead them down the right path. But hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, I think I'm just thinking as you say that, what you're saying applies to, I would argue, not just real estate, not just sales, but I would also say probably networking as well, of just approaching things, of being an advisor rather than transactional. I think that's really, really great advice.
Well, absolutely.
I always like to leave the last question open-ended, and that's, you know, what if we turning it more to you and saying, what have we not covered that you would like to share with listeners? And it can be about real estate, career, life, just anything that kind of comes top of mind to you that you want to make sure we cover.
Oh, wow. Sorry, man, I'm drawing a blank here. Tough question.
No, it's such it's, a it, open, it is a high bar. It is a little bit of an intimidating question. Or maybe what's one thing you'd like to leave someone with? If they're, you know, if they're curious about real estate and what you've said sounds interesting, maybe some final words of advice to them in thinking about this as a career path.
Yeah. You know, I would say, you know, education is key. Continuing education, you know, being a lifelong learner is always going to be an element of success. Always continue to kind of raise the bar on yourself and kind of strive for excellence. You know, have don't settle for mediocre. I mean, I think that's super important as always. I think for most folks where we come from and our backgrounds, it's probably not too much of a stretch and not really outside of the box thinking. But guys pursuing or guys and gals pursuing or thinking about pursuing, you know, it's an amazing opportunity for most folks. And I would just say, be careful with the mindset when you're coming in, just make sure that you're thinking about it as a career path and that you have a duty to the consumer. I don't think about it as a hobby and as a, hey, I'm going to do this part time to make a little money on the side, because, you know, I'm a protector of the industry and I believe in it. And I believe we offer incredible value to society. And so I want to see that continue for decades to come, at least until I retire.
I love it. Well, this is great. I appreciate all of your advice and the perspective you've shared. And for listeners, in the show notes for this episode, I'll have links to all of those different books that Drew recommended. You'll also find a text transcript of this. And thank you for taking the time to connect with me in the audience today.
Man, thanks so much, Justin. Really enjoyed it, and always happy to chat, man. Thanks so much.
Surface. All right, thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking around. And was I right? I think that was a great interview for any career path. And I just really appreciate the thoughts that Drew had on that commission only and just the autonomy and independence it allows, while still making space for it to be terrifying and not sugarcoating that. I especially appreciate his thoughts on commission and sales too, because listening to him, he does not sound like a salesy guy. He sounds like a guy who is legitimately trying to do good in the world and would have your best interest at heart. And so I think he's a great example of, you can be a fantastic salesperson without being slimy, without being like all the things that the typical person in the military thinks of a salesperson. That's just a caricature. That's just a type of salesperson, but that's not the type of person you need to be. And then I thought his thought on going straight into real estate, just kind of the learning in the back of the room approach of dropping in on different things, was really fantastic. If you've enjoyed this, please leave a comment in the comment section or leave a positive review on iTunes. Sign up for our newsletter. I'll be sending out more surveys to get a sense of the next set of interviews to do here. And have a great week. I'll be back next week with another interview with a military veteran about their civilian career. Take care.